It's time for Senior Talk with Carol Higgins Taylor, a show designed with seniors in mind. Carol discusses everything from Social Security to senior housing, medication to Medicare, and so much more. And now, your award-winning host, Carol Higgins Taylor.
Hi, and thank you for joining me today for this edition of Senior Talk. Today, we're discussing legal help for older adults. If you or someone you know finds yourself in a situation that needs a lawyer, there is help available. The helpline, we're talking about legal services for Maine elders. The helpline, not hotline, but helpline is 1-800-750-5353. 800-750-5353, or visit Maine, spelled out, mainlse.org. Grab a pencil. I will be giving that number and website again throughout the show. My guest is Jay Martin. She is an attorney and the executive director of Legal Services for Maine Elders, formerly known as Legal Services for the Elderly. Very slight name change, same great organization. Legal Services has always been one of my absolute favorite organizations, and I've seen firsthand the good that it's done. So, Jay, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you, Carol. It's my pleasure.
Give me a little history for those who don't know, a little history of Legal Services for Maine Elders.
Sure. Well, it's fun to answer that question this year in particular. We're celebrating our 50th anniversary this year. LSE was created in 1974 in a very visionary act on the part of the state of Maine. Most states don't have a Legal Services for Maine Elders type of organization, so we're very fortunate in Maine to have that resource. We started with one attorney and volunteers at the local area agencies on aging, and that one attorney traveled all over the state helping older people with legal problems. And today we continue to be a statewide organization, but with a staff of 32.
Wow, 32. That's amazing. Because I was going to ask you, I know you're based in Augusta, but I was going to ask you, are your visits virtual or by phone, or do you have attorneys that can go to someone's house or go to court or do what they need to do?
Really, any and all of those things you just mentioned are possibilities. Depending upon the legal problem someone has, sometimes we can help all by phone, which saves travel time and saves time and is very efficient. So certain kinds of problems, we'll just have a helpline attorney assist and look at documents and make phone calls. But if someone's facing a loss of their home or public benefits, or they're in an unsafe situation, we have attorneys located all across the state, and we would assign the attorney nearest to that person to help them. And they may very well sit down and meet with them, appear in court on their behalf. We do also do virtual proceedings. Sometimes we have clients that don't want to have to show up at the courtroom. They don't want to be exposed to illness there. They don't want to travel. They have medical conditions. And so we can help someone request what's called a remote hearing, so they don't have to show up in person.
Who is this service for? Is there an age limit?
Yes, there is an age limit. It's 60 or older. And the other eligibility requirement we have is Maine residency. So someone has to be a Maine resident to receive this help. The other way that's very easy to understand what we do and what we help with is to think of any kind of a legal problem that might keep someone from meeting their basic needs. So if their housing is at risk because they're being foreclosed on or evicted, or their housing is unsafe, or their landlord's withholding a security deposit, anything like that, we would get involved. Same with public benefits. Somebody's having a social security issue, a SNAP benefits issue, we would get involved with that kind of thing. Somebody's facing really crushing consumer debt. We can help them make sure that they're paying the bills they actually have to pay. So think of basic needs: safety, health, shelter, food, heat, those kinds of things. Those are the kinds of things we help with.
What are the things that you don't do? For instance, you don't do wills, right?
Yeah, we first and foremost, we don't help with criminal legal problems, so only civil legal problems. So if someone's being has been charged with a crime or being prosecuted, we wouldn't assist with that. And then on the civil side of things, you're right, Carol, there are things we don't help with, malpractice claims, personal injury types of claims. And then as it relates to wills, what we provide in that area is a referral service. So we connect people who call us about a will. After we determine that they really do need a will, we refer them on to the private bar for that, because the private bar is really the best resource for estate planning and wills and that kind of work. And we really want to preserve our resources, again, for those things that are more pressing basic needs kinds of issues.
Sure. You also help with Medicare Part D and Medicare denials. Is that a big problem?
It's a big problem if you face it. That's the way I would put it. If you can't afford your prescription drugs under Medicare Part D, you face hard choices between what you're going to sacrifice to get that prescription you need and other things that are basic needs. And likewise, if you've been denied a Medicare service that you really require, again, very, very serious situation. So while it may not be the highest volume of cases that we handle, it is a kind of case where we often see somebody coming through the door in an emergency situation. They've been to the pharmacy with a new prescription. It's something they need absolutely for their health, immediate access, and they've had to leave without that prescription because the person can't afford it under the way that their Medicare Part D plan is structured.
And you can go in and help them get that medication or help with their Part D plan.
Yep, we can do an analysis. We make sure somebody's getting all of the extra help that they're eligible to receive, which sometimes can make the medication affordable. If that's not an option, we can also help the person evaluate whether there might be a different plan that would offer them more affordable access to their prescriptions than the one that they're enrolled in. And that's all service that we provide entirely via phone. So no matter where somebody is in the state, if they have the kind of problem that I'm describing and they call us, they're going to get assistance with that. We can do that work very, very effectively entirely by phone in that area.
When someone does call the helpline, that's answered by attorneys or paralegals. Is that right?
It's answered by a paralegal. The phone is answered by a paralegal. And we do what we call an intake, but it really means that paralegal's job is to very efficiently get some basic information from the caller. What is the problem in kind of brief terms, not with all the details, but what's the problem that the person's worried about? How do we reach them? How do we call back? Some basic demographic information. And then after that, an attorney is going to call back. And how quickly the callback happens depends on how urgent the situation is. If it's a very urgent situation, the attorney will call back the same or the next business day. If it is a less urgent matter, we return the calls in the order that we receive the calls. So that would generally mean someone's called back in 3 to 5 business days. And I want to note, too, that if you call after hours, you can leave a message and we will call you back. So there's really no reason, if somebody's trying to reach us, that they should have any troubles getting through to us.
So you have said that this is a free service. Is anyone who is 6 years older eligible, or are there income guidelines to a lot of nonprofits have programs where there are income guidelines to access?
Yeah, we do not operate with income guidelines. It really is 60 or older and Maine resident, but there's only certain kinds of problems that we help with. And they do tend to be problems that are faced more frequently by people with lower incomes, but not exclusively. Benefit-related problems in the area of elder abuse and financial exploitation, again, we would not necessarily see that limited to lower income, but most of what we assist with is a kind of problem that's probably faced more by somebody who's of more limited means.
We are going to go to break. The number to call is 1-800-750-5353, 800-750-5353. That is the helpline, or mainlse.org. Stay with us. There's more to come. And we are going to dive into elder abuse. We'll be right back. Hi, we're back with Senior Talk. Jay Martin, Executive Director of Legal Services for Maine Elders. Again, phone number is 800-750-5353. Jay, when we left, you talked about elder abuse, and you've been very involved in fighting elder abuse across the state. How is that going? You've been doing it for a while. Do you see a decrease in elder abuse, or as people turn 60, is it the status quo? More cases keep coming up. What's happening?
Well, what the national studies show is that the prevalence continues to be significant. Estimates of 1 out of 10 older people any given year are going to be a victim of elder abuse. And with Maine's growing older population, we really anticipate that we are going to see continue to see a growth in the number of people that are facing elder abuse. What I'm encouraged about is how hard Maine's working to be sure that the response when this happens is coordinated and high quality across all of us working with older victims. And I think too, we're getting more people to seek help sooner when they're concerned that they've been taken advantage of. And so those are the areas of I'm most optimistic about, but it's not a problem we're going to eradicate anytime soon, unfortunately.
What types of elder abuse are there?
There's really under the that name, and you sometimes people also call it elder mistreatment or maltreatment. There's physical and emotional abuse. There's neglect. And then there also is financial exploitation. And financial exploitation can take the form of the theft of property, the home, or other personal property, diversion of income streams like Social Security, the theft of cash out of bank accounts, and using also the older person's credit rating to take out mortgages or loans to the benefit of the person that's perpetrating the exploitation. So there's quite a range, and often exploitation is paired with some or other forms of abuse as well.
What are the red flags? If someone's listening, maybe they have a family member who's pressuring them to sign a power of attorney or pressuring them to turn their home over so that they can still live there, but they want to keep up with repairs. And if they turn the home over to this person, then they'll take care of everything, which is probably not true in a lot of cases. What are the red flags for people listening if they're facing that situation, and what should they do?
And I will give you a couple sets. I would give you I tell you a little bit about red flags if you're the person that's you're worried you're being taken advantage of. And then there's a what if you're worried about someone. And we often get calls from those worried about others. So the examples you gave really involve somebody trying to convince an older person to do something, sign over a piece of property, sign a document like a power of attorney document, sign loan documents, put somebody's name on a bank account, a whole host of ways that people get convinced to take an action. And I think the most important thing that I can emphasize is if that's happening, hit the pause button. Find a trusted advisor to speak to about it. And absolutely, that could include calling our helpline, and we'll make sure you get to speak with an attorney that has only your interests at heart and can tell you what your rights are and what the risks are of doing whatever you're being urged to do. So I think the most important thing is to always realize that in the more urgency somebody brings, perhaps the more likely you should slow down and talk to somebody other than the person that's trying to convince you to take action. And it can be hard because it may be a family member that you're dependent on for care and help, and you don't want to alienate or anger that person. But going off to get a little independent advice is really the best thing to protect yourself. And if it's something that's already happened, you've already signed that document, you maybe signed that document and now you have somebody telling you that they're going to make you leave your home. They're going to throw you out. Something like that is happening. It's never too late to reach out and ask for help and find out what your options are. And our helpline is the easy way to do that and to start the wheels in motion and getting some trusted advice from somebody that really has your best interests at heart.
So just because those papers have been signed doesn't mean that it's the end. You can help someone usually if they have a problem.
Well, it all depends on what the paper was and how long ago it happened. But at a minimum, we really believe that even if somebody isn't happy with the options that are left to them, they're still going to feel better at the end of the day knowing what their rights are and what their options are, even if those options are limited. And so we can always help somebody understand their situation and what might still be left to them in terms of legal action. And many, many times, Carol, you're right. We may, in fact, be able to recover something. And we haven't talked a lot about personal safety, but in particular, if you're feeling unsafe or threatened by somebody in your home or otherwise, you can call and have a conversation about what your options are to address those safety concerns. And then you get to decide whether you seek a protective order or restraining order. But so important to understand what those options are if you're feeling unsafe.
It seems to me, and I wonder if you feel this way, that some older adults may feel awkward about telling their loved one, I want to have an attorney look at this power of attorney. I want them to look at this deed signing the home over. But in reality, if that person has a problem with seeking legal counsel, that in itself to me is a red flag. This has happened in my family where the house was signed over and it worked out great. Repairs were made. My grandmother lived there until she died. It was a great situation. My uncle would have welcomed an attorney to look at that. But if there's a situation where they're saying, I don't want anybody else involved, you don't need to tell anybody, run.
I absolutely see why you say that, Carol, because you'd think everybody wants the arrangement structured in a way that's not going to present problems later. Say as it relates to main care eligibility or something like that. It is a time when you would hope all family members would agree that they want the I's dotted and the T's crossed in a way that really works. But people do get in a panic and they decide that everybody has to act overnight. And I can't emphasize enough, again, if that's the kind of situation that someone's facing, that's the sign right there that you need to get that, make the call to LSE or get the appointment with your local attorney and do a consultation. And it will almost always be time well spent and may save you being at risk for losing your home or other assets that you weren't ready to pass on yet.
I can't even imagine how terrifying that is for an older adult being faced with that situation. We're so lucky in Maine that you're there. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we will talk more with Jay Martin of Legal Services for Maine Elders. Stay with us. Hi, we're back with Senior Talk, Jay Martin. You mentioned personal safety. And if someone is afraid to contact an attorney or someone who can help them, if they're being pressured to sign away the home or sign a power of attorney, if they call you, what happens next? Because I know I'm guessing there's a big fear of they're going to get hauled out of the house. The caregiver is going to go to jail. The SWAT team's coming in. It's going to be a big deal really fast. What really happens?
Well, if somebody calls in particular and expresses concerns about their safety, and again, they may have a family member living in the home with them. They may have a person maybe rented out a room in their house or a room over their garage to a tenant that is ending up engaging in maybe illegal activity. has become very threatening and again, makes the home suddenly feel unsafe. Those kinds of situations, when they come in, we treat those as an immediate priority. And so someone's going to speak briefly with one of our helpline attorneys to just be sure that we've got the key information we need. And then the case is going to be passed along to our an attorney that's nearest where one of our attorneys that's nearest where the person lives. And the first thing that we'll want to do is make sure that someone just understands their rights and options. An attorney's job is to first do that, make sure to explain what the options are, and then to take direction from our client. And we definitely have people call us in concerning situations, and we explain that they might be able to get a protection order or a restraining order, or might be able to, say, evict a family member from the home. And they hear all that and they say, you know, I'm just really not ready to do that. I'm not ready to take that step. I'm hoping my son or daughter, whoever, is going to kind of turn things around. I can't imagine doing that. And that's that client's choice. We're done at that point. The conversations are all confidential. And sometimes that happens and somebody calls us back 6 or 12 months later and says, I think I'm ready now to do something. I'm exhausted. I'm scared in my own home. I want to do something about it. But we start with making sure somebody understands that range of options. And then we put the choice to our client. What do they want? All in a very confidential context.
If the attorney meets with the person and there are clear, visible signs of abuse, what happens then? And maybe dementia. What happens then?
Well, it's a complex combination of things, Carol. When we're engaging with somebody, typically our clients, we need to take direction from them. So the degree to which they're confused or forgetful or whatever, we'd have to evaluate whether we could be taking direction from that person. But assuming we can, and we observed a concerning situation, we would urge the person to let us connect them with referral sources, maybe with somebody to do safety planning, maybe with other resources. So what we would do is really urge the person to let us work with them and get them some supports, whether it's home care services, maybe get evaluated for those, maybe Meals on Wheels, whatever resources we thought might fit the need that we're seeing. And if part of what we're seeing seems to be the product of abuse, urge the person to exercise their rights to restore their safety. But ultimately, again, assuming we are able to take direction from the client, it is going to be that older person's choice what they do in terms of responding to their situation.
And I wanted to get that out there because I don't want people to think that that phone call is going to set the ball in motion that they then have no control over. So they can call you and you take direction from them so they can feel safe making that phone call. We are almost out of time, but I do want to get to warning signs. So if there's a friend or a neighbor who's has an inkling something's off, what are the warning signs to look for and what can they do about it?
Yeah, I'll give you a top three in my mind. Somebody new is shown up in somebody's life that they haven't ever really talked about very much, or you haven't heard much about, a long lost nephew or niece or someone who's suddenly right there at their side all the time, and you're not getting to interact with your friend or neighbor on their own. It would be one. If you see a decline in the person's physical appearance, like they were always very well put together, so to speak, when they went off to go do their banking and grocery shopping, and you see a real change there, that would be a real sign for concern. And then also, if you just aren't getting access to somebody, you try to call and somebody else answers the phone and says they can't come to the phone right now, they don't feel well today, and And somebody stops showing up for their quilting group or their bridge group or whatever they've always had a passion for, and they're just not showing up and you're not able to reach them. Those are real concerning kinds of situations. And that is the kind of thing that Adult Protective Services is really there for. Anybody in the community that's got a concern about an older person in the kind of situations I'm talking about can call and alert Adult Protective Services, and they could then look into what's happening.
If they called your number, can you just refer out to Adult Protective?
We would give them the telephone contact. Yep. Because for our service, we really need to have the person who needs our help ask for our help, or somebody that's got legal authority to ask for on behalf of the person, like somebody that's a agent under a power of attorney or a guardian. So we really want that request to come from the person and not someone else.
The website is mainlse.org. I have spent quite a bit of time there today. It is extensive and full of good information, mainlse.org, if you have more questions. The helpline number is 1-800-750-5353, 800-750-5353. Always a good idea to consult an attorney if someone's pressuring you to do anything. Have that conversation. Jay Martin, thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate it. Great information. That's it for me. This is Senior Talk. Thanks for listening.